You know, here's a real sad thought. You can know something, yet miss growing from knowing. Let me say that again. You can know something, yet miss growing from knowing. In other words, when God gives us knowledge and gives us understanding, are we going to just know that, or will we grow from that? So knowing is not always growing. If you know God, yet you fail to grow, then you've missed whatever it is God wanted to do. So listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, adding your diligence, and I'm going to be teaching out of the Amplified on this, to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith. Now, I'm going to stop there for 1 minute. What does it mean to exercise your faith? Yeah, we understand that we got to live it out. But sometimes our nature is to want to sit back and put faith in our faith, yet nothing changes. So every now and then, we've got to take our faith out for a little stroll. Take it out for a little exercise. Exercise our faith with your kids. You know, you have to exercise that faith. I got to take it out for a walk. My faith was fine until I had to take it out for a walk, and all of a sudden my faith is what? Getting tested. Goes on to say this. Exercise your faith to develop virtue. That means excellent, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, and endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness and piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. I want to tell you, that's the most exercising I've done in I don't know how long. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful until the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. All these qualities are what? Are yours. When did they become yours? When did they become yours? When the Spirit of God came to indwell me and I received Christ in my heart as my Savior, everything I need for life is already what? It's already mine. It's mine already. So you saying, are you telling me virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and all these things he's talking about are already living inside me? Yes. Goes on to say this. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near him, and become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. So it seems to me that the Amplified Bible here really puts a lot of emphasis on two words. One is exercising, and the second word is develop. So the theme here is this. We are to develop these gifts and these principles that God has given us. It's not enough to know I have these things. I've got to what? I have to develop them. I have to work on them. I have to put feet to them. I have to give life to them. They live inside me. Let's get them outside me so that the world can see what's inside me is who? Is Christ. Now, so what does it mean? What develop? What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Develop. Come on. What's it mean? I can't hear you.
Sorry, like film, you're developing it to become something that's different, to grow.
Yeah, to grow. Listen to what Webster says. It says, to grow or cause to grow, become more socially advanced. And here's your fill-in, mature. To exist, to experience, or to possess what is already given to us. The gifts have already been given. Now, many believers that I find fail in one area of all this, and it's this. Really believing that I have been forgiven of not only what I've done, but what I will do. We struggle, a lot of believers struggle with the fact of, am I really forgiven for this? And so we spend all our time pouring out our hearts to God, trying to convince God that we're sorry for something we may have done, instead of realizing, you know what? I'm not only forgiven for everything I've done, but now I got to get back on track and start what? Developing again what is already mine, my faith, my virtue, my knowledge. I've got to develop inside me what is already inside me. Now, is talk about experiencing, and here's your fill-in, by training to develop all the godly characters he's given us. Okay? So it made me stop and say this. Everyone look at me. You're all sleepy this morning. Am I wanting to really grow? Do I really want to grow? Do I really want to develop this stuff? Because where there is life, there's what? There's growth. Where there is life, there's growth. Now, pray for me today. After I leave here, I'm going to go home, eat a sandwich, nap for 1 hour, jump in my car, and drive 4 hours to Frisco, Texas. When I get down there, I'm sure I'll be pleasantly surprised that they already have everything packed up and I won't need to do a thing. Then at 7 o'clock in the morning, I pick up a 26-foot U-Haul truck. We come back to the house at 8 o'clock. We've hired some movers to come and pack up the truck. Andrew's moving home. Well, you didn't ask me. And come back to Texas and do what I need to do. Okay? Now, Ezra, now the good news is that we've had Ezra, our little grandchild, for the last 6 weeks, which is really fun. But, you know, he's so cute. You know, it's hereditary. And, and so, you know, he's 18 months old. This kid can show love and anger in the same 5 minutes. It's so cute. It's really cute. Now, if you're 21 years old and you're showing anger and love in the same 5 minutes, that's not so cute. You know, when you first became a believer and you didn't really know how to act, you know, that was kind of cute. Like the first time I'm at Eastwood and I've been a Christian about, 3 weeks, and we're in Sunday school. I went to a Sunday school class and they said, Brother Harry, and I went, I'm a brother. I'm a brother. You know, that was so cool. Brother Harry, why don't you pray for us this morning? Remember, I'm Catholic. Okay? So here was my prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the food today. In Jesus' name, amen. And they looked at me and went, this is the only one I know so far. See, now that was cute. But see, if you're doing that after you've been a Christian 40 years and all you know how to pray about is, thanks for the food, Lord, that's not so cute. You with me so far? Now, the new birth in Christ is not the end, it's the beginning. The attitude of a believer cannot be, well, thank you, Lord, for saving me, and now what I'm going to do is just hang around till heaven shows up. This praying and receiving Christ, we must develop this godly character that lives inside us that God has called us to develop. Now, here's another thing. I wrote this in my, see, I write out the lesson and then I add notes to it every week. I wrote this the other day. Your attitude can't also be this. I am being held hostage by past failure and sin. I got to tell you, in counseling and spending time with people, I'm running into too many people who are being held hostage inside your own mind because of something you did in the past or something you may be ashamed of that you did this week. And so what we have to learn is this. When I fail, am I going to learn to come back now and begin to develop the things that I need to develop so that I don't keep repeating the same junk over and over again that I wish I hadn't done? Are you with me so far? Now, it's the beginning of the journey, not just to know God, but to experience all that He is inside us. So I want to be able to experience not only who God is, but I want to be able to share with my friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors who this God is, what God has done for me, what God wants to do for you. See, it's not about just praying a prayer and I'm going to heaven and forget everybody else. It's, what am I going to do? How do I pour my life into people that need life poured into them? Am I willing to develop that kind of character where I'm willing to pour life into people who need life? Now, God, this is an amazing thought right here. God has given us mostly almost everything we need for godly life. Let me read it again. God has given us almost everything we need for the godly life now. God has given us all we need for the godly life. We must learn to apply ourselves to be what? Diligent to use the means of grace of life that He's given us. You can know God's grace, yet not experience God's grace. You can know about all the grace of God, but are you implementing the grace of God? Are you diligent in putting the grace of God in your life to work every day? Are you using the grace of God to pour life, as you said, into your family? Lynette's been gone 2 days because she's been down there packing. So I called her last night, and we were talking for a minute. And I said, you know, I don't know how to break this to you, but I don't like it when you're gone. You know, I have to cook for myself. I have to make the bed by myself. And I did. I got to clean up. You know, I might need you a little more than I thought. Isn't it funny when she gets away, I start thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I sure love that girl. I mean, I really love that girl when she's away. When she's... So, it's really learning how to allow God to live in us and through us. So notice this. Here's your fill-in. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It's not automatic. It requires cooperation with God, with the Spirit of God, and spiritual attentiveness. And then watch this. Here's your fill-in. And application to the truth He has given us. It's not enough to say, I know God. It's not enough to say, I'm born again. Are we applying diligently into our lives the things that God is teaching us? All these virtues that He's talking about. Are we taking these virtues and are we what? Diligent in developing these things in our life every single day. We're going to talk about this for a couple weeks. It's not enough to know it, got to apply it. You got to do it. I can know how to lose weight, but I have to what? Apply what I know. I have to apply it. I got on the scale this morning, and you know, it always does the same thing. One at a time, please. And or the other day, it was like, oh my gosh, ouch. And I've noticed I've lost 5 pounds. Well, me losing 5 pounds like an elephant losing a tick. You know, I mean, it's not that enormous deal. But and then you say, well, how are you doing that? Well, I just decided to cut back on how much I eat. So I'm back to 3 meals a day. And it's really working for me, you know, to be able to take that weight off. But it's just watching. It's being able to bring somebody a cookie and not eat one. You liked it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I brought her a cookie, and or a couple of cookies.
From Old School Bakery, and they're like 8 pounds each, and 2 dozen. So, yeah.
Well, because there's 150 people that lives at her house.
Yeah. My kids did. She gained the 5 pounds.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing was this. Well, I was going to eat one, and then I looked, and she looked at me and went, "Rrr." And so I knew I probably should not have not touched the cookie at all. Okay? Now, therefore, my dear friends, you are always relate not only in my presence, but when I'm not here. So learn how to act. Philippians says this, not in your own strength, for it is God who all the while effectively works in you, energizing and creating the power and creating the desire. The desire. Am I going to have the desire? Now, Peter lists 7 character traits here of the godly life that must be accomplished if we're going to become the people God wants us to be. Now, when I first saw these, my first thought was this. I pictured a necklace with 7 pearls on it, and we put it around our neck, and that's going to be the picture of me walking with God the way I'm supposed to. And I realized it's not 7 pearls on a string or 7 stages of development. We develop one quality which allows us to add another quality. So he says, add diligence, and then add diligence, add virtue. Add virtue, add knowledge. Add knowledge, add self-control. Add development, add steadfastness, add patience. And so the whole point is coming to the place where the word add really means to supply generously all that is already mine. And so God generously allows me to have all this stuff already inside me. Now I must be diligent to apply in my own life what is already what? Mine. While Lynette was gone, I took the dog to the border, Canadian border. Yeah, I have the dog. There's nothing like having a new home and dog hair everywhere to test your faith. So I took him to the groomers. He's spending 2 days there. And yeah, I'm leaving him 2 days because I got to Texas. I can't leave him at the house. Yeah, that's what I said. I took them to the border. You board them, they clean them, cut their nails, you know that stuff. It's hard to talk to her about her dog's deaf.
Little too.
Yeah, this dog is not little. But they've already texted me and shown pictures. It's like, your dog's the life of the party around here. All the other dogs love your dogs. That's also hereditary. Now, so the word add, it says this. That we are to what? See the generosity of God in our lives as he gives us the ability to develop these things. These graces are like a rose bush that once pruned will generously give back more what? More roses. Now here's your fill-in. For believers, the pruning process, I think, is just as important as developing the qualities that God's given us in life. Now, everybody look at me. Is the pruning process fun? Yes. I didn't ask you if it felt good. Yes. Because what it does more than anything else is if God is showing me these areas of my life right now that need pruning, I know that's painful when he shows it to us, but there's a certain joy of knowing that whatever God's doing in my life right now, he's got even a bigger plan for me because he's pruning me so I might develop these virtues more efficiently in my own life. You know, I think conviction's a part of pruning.
I do too, but I'm just saying that sometimes, because, and only speaking from experience, when I'm feeling convicted about something, then I feel ashamed or bummed, or sometimes that weighs me down. But if I recognize that it's I'm being pruned, then I go, okay, I got this, God. Thank you. I get it. So sometimes it's hard for me.
Well, I think the other part of that problem becomes this. Distinguishing between what conviction is and what pruning is also gets down to this. That once God brings the conviction and I allow guilt and shame to move in, that is not from God. That is not from God. When God convicts, he convicts. When guilt and shame comes, that's coming from an enemy who's going to try to take the pruning process and bring us to a place where we feel awful the rest of our life about something we may have done. Instead of saying, no, what God has shown me here is I have to add more of what's already inside me, outside me. I've got to take this pruning process and let God use it in my life. I got to draw a circle around the areas of my life that are strongholds. And I have to pray myself through those. I'm reading a book right now called Circle Maker, where you draw the circle around yourself or around your situation. So let's say I have a situation where I struggle with losing weight, okay? Well, I'm drawing a circle around that now, and I am bombarding God not only with my prayers that I want this to happen in my life, but now I must be diligent to take care of my side of the coin, which is what? Losing weight isn't all God's responsibility. Some of it belongs to who? To me. Some of it belongs to me and my wife. Now, like the fruit of the Spirit, these qualities grow out of vital relationship with Christ. All those things he's shown us comes out of relationship with Christ. We are to put on all the fruits of the Spirit by doing what? If we're going to put on the fruits of the Spirit, what must happen? We got to put off the works of the flesh. We got to put off the old sinful nature. And I think that's the struggle we face as Christians. For me especially, when Satan is attacking me lately, he's attacking me with sins from 35 years ago that I thought I really had control of. And he's attacking me again. And so it makes me stop and say this, that this old sinful nature, the only way it's going to be put off is by putting on the fruits of the Spirit. The only way to put on the fruits of the Spirit is to become diligent in practicing these seven characteristics that he's telling us to allow us to live out this life that's already ours, that's already inside of us. And how have we been talking about that for the last 10 years? What are we? We're righteous. We're holy. That's what God says about us. So let's put on righteousness and holiness. If you've been unrighteous and holiness, then add to that knowledge, add to that virtue, add to whatever it is you need to add to get yourself where you need to be. Warren Wiersbe says this, it is not enough for the Christian to say, let go and let God. You know, I've heard that 100 times. Let go and let God. As though spiritual growth is God's work alone. Spiritual growth is like a father and a child working together. Your kids are going to grow because you work together. You train them. You prune some of their tree back. You discipline when needs to be disciplined. But you also praise when praise is in order. I mean, if you're not spending as much time praising your kids as you are disciplining them, you're missing a point. This isn't about just changing our kids' behavior. See, if all you do is work on your kids' behavior, when they're 18 and don't have to obey anymore, they won't. I got to work on their heart. And that's what God's doing with all of us. I think these virtues allows God to work on our hearts. You would raise your kid in the way you're going to teach them. You would train them. Here's your fill-in. Again, cooperation with God and His Word is vital for our spiritual growth. We have got to come to a place where I am letting God speak to me and I am cooperating back with Him to really practice being what? What's the word? Diligent. Diligent. Now, I don't think God expects us to do this on our own. I don't know about you, but all these virtues in my life that are already mine, I don't think these things are ever going to get out of me if it's all left up to me and what I do. I think I have to have a new dependence on God that I want to add and continually add. I want to take the grace and the generosity of God and continually add it into my life until these virtues are all what? Present in my life and active in my life. Now, the first quality he lists is virtue. NIV calls it goodness. Excellent, resolution, Christian energy. What does that mean? What's Christian energy mean? Anybody? Christian energy. What's that mean? Come on, Gary, you've been quiet for 3 weeks.
Are you talking about quickening of the Spirit?
No, I'm talking about Christian energy. What's Christian energy?
That was my answer.
What's Christian energy? Yeah? Well, I'm just grateful to the Lord for all He's doing for me. I'm walking with God. You know, it's hard for me to get into that when I see you got no energy. You know, you got to have some energy in this thing. Can you imagine me teaching every week? Well, you know, the Bible says this, you know. And if you just, don't be looking at me like that. If the Bible says it, the Bible says it. You know what? I would die if you couldn't use some what? Energy. As I watch OU play football, it drains my energy. When they keep fumbling on the 1 yard line 2 times in a row, I'm like, oh my gosh, they must get ready to play Oklahoma State. Now, it's focus on giving, watch this, virtue and energy. It says, I'm willing to give God my best. The meaning is that we ought to make it a distinct and definite object to, here's your fill-in, apply ourselves to it as the thing to be accomplished. So, here's my question. Ready? What is God trying to accomplish in your life today that requires change, obedience, and faith? What is it in your life today that requires change, obedience, and faith? Now, I'm going to ask this question tongue in cheek. Is there anyone in here today, okay, who would put their hand up and say, to be real honest with you, there's nothing I need to obey, I don't need any change, and my faith's fine? Anyone? No. The only one. If anyone put their hand up for that, I'm saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. You know, to me, to sit back here and say, No, I'm good. I don't need to change. He needs to change. I don't need to change. She needs to change. I don't need to change. But we have to get honest with: are we developing these principles that He's calling us? So for me, I wrote this. I ask God to show me 4 strongholds in my life. And He did. You say, what are those? I'm not telling you that. You know, I'm to 4 strongholds. Now, these are my personal strongholds. And what I'm doing is I'm drawing a circle around these 4 strongholds. And I'm praying over them every day. That God and I are going to cooperate together so I can implement what's already inside me to break down these strongholds in my life. It's not about me just going to God. It's about God and I working together. and I'm going to be diligent, not just to say I want these broken. I'm going to be diligent to pray so when that temptation comes, that I've already said no to whatever the temptation is. I'm diligent to do that. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days. The Apostle Peter comes to this principal thing. God intended in this epistle to excite and engage them to advance in grace and holiness. Second Peter is all about this. He is having a little pep rally here saying, listen, I want to excite you. Engage. Advance in grace. Advance in holiness. Develop these virtues in your life that are already yours. Keep developing what's going on in your life. Now, here's the problem with that. And I can only speak for myself. Every time I say I'm drawing a circle around strongholds, and every time I say I am really going to advance in holiness, Satan comes at me and tries to get me to retreat. Anybody else like that? Anyone else like that in here? Every time you start talking about the changes you want to make in your life, the enemy's going to come after you and try to get you to retreat. And remember what it says in Hebrews? If my servants draw back, I will not be pleased with them. I'll not have pleasure in you when you draw back. I think God can handle us having bad days, but I don't think he can handle us, what? Wanting to quit. There should be no backup in our lives. But there's days we what? We back up. So let's develop something new here. Let's develop endurance and patience. Advance. The early church had already attained a precious faith in the nature of Christ, but now what they had to do was they had to perfect what was already theirs. You make one cake, it's an Italian cake. Agreed? I had a piece once. I was a little upset with it because it was a real... I said two fingers and she gave me these two. I meant these two. These two fingers. I said, give me two fingers for it. She gives me one. No, these two. That cake, did it come out right the first time? Or have you developed over the time?
The answer is developed.
Yes. My wife, my first pie she ever made me. I'm a pie person more than a cake person. She made me one of the greatest coconut cream soup pies you've ever had in your lifetime. And you know, I didn't chip a tooth when I ate the crust, but I got real close. You know, one of my caps came off, I think. But you know, over the years, my wife can flat out make cherry pie. Like, I mean, and it's not that goopy cherry. We found a place where you can buy the cherries in the cans with water in water. You got to go down on one of these stores that have cheap stuff in it. And so we'll buy like 12 of those and bring them home. And my wife will make this cherry pie and the crust, flaky. So my daughter-in-law says, hey, I'm going to do all the desserts for Thanksgiving. And here was my response, nay, nay. And nay, nay. No. Cherry pie, it is mine. Nobody touch it. That's my pie. Okay. So Lynette has perfected making cherry pies. The apostle has prayed that grace and peace might be multiplied to them, and he exhorts them to press forward for attaining even more grace to accomplish the desires God has in your life. So we're using grace. Develop it to where I need more grace. Develop it to where I need more grace. Develop it to where I need more grace so I can do more of what it is God wants to do in me and through me. You're going to have to develop grace before you take off and go to Taiwan. How long are you going to be there? She's going to Taiwan for a month. She has to raise several thousand dollars. If you know these people, she'll tell you how to be able to give to her so she can spend a month in Taiwan. She goes every year. It's worth a nickel. Pour a nickel in there. Now, you're welcome. No, wait a minute. No, you're welcome. But the whole point is we're advancing. Resting as believers is something you got to learn to do at times. Let me say that again. We're talking about diligence. We're talking about exercising. We're talking about this. Watch this. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is sit down and take a rest. Learn when to rest. Okay? Because you can get so busy being busy that eventually you don't accomplish anything you want to do because nothing gets done. Now, Get this principle right here. Resting with no goal in mind concerning what God is doing is just becoming spiritually lazy. While I'm resting, I have to have a goal set in front of me that I know God's working on. If I know God's breaking down four strongholds in my life and I'm taking a rest, I still have to focus on what it is I believe God wants me to do while I'm resting. You see the difference? There's no question about that. When you're idle, you open the door for the enemy to attack you. But watch this. When you get so busy doing whatever it is you're doing in your own flesh, in your own ability, the enemy can also attack that. You know, if you're doing everything on your own without including whatever it is God wants to do, you can get just as tired and attacked as anyone else. So virtue then is releasing the glory, there's your filling, of God, which lives in us to do whatever it is God intended to do in us. Now get a picture of this. Virtue is not polishing up the old flesh or human qualities, no matter how good they might be, but it's developing divine qualities. Those are your two fill-ins. I'm not polishing up my own human qualities, but I'm developing divine qualities that make me complete in Christ. So the page, that page, you should have the fill-ins of advance the grace and holiness, advance it, release God's glory, and not polish up human qualities. This is not about making yourself better. It's about releasing what's already inside you, releasing the virtues inside you, releasing the stuff that God says is already living inside us, releasing it. Now, what is the, again, this, you should already know this answer. What is the hardest thing God will ever ask you to do? Come on, I'm waiting. What is it? Yeah, waiting. The hardest thing God will ever ask you to do is wait. But here's our mentality. Ready? And especially with my son right now. Here's my mentality. Don't just stand there. Do something. Don't just stand there. Go do something. And then I was reminded what Henry Blackaby teaches. Here's what Blackaby says. Don't just stand there. Do something. No, don't just do something. Stand there. Sometimes you got to learn when to do and when to stand. And right now, I have to trust that God's speaking to my kid because he says, Dad, I don't feel led by God to just go out and get a job right now. I'm waiting on God for him to show us what's next. I have followed God out as much as I can right now. I have gone and done everything I can. Now, it didn't turn out the way I wanted, but what am I developing here? Well, now I'm going to develop virtue. I'm going to develop patience. Instead of getting angry at a church, we have prayed for them. Instead of getting angry, we prayed for them. Why? Because the pattern that we see is going to fail. We're not here to fail at church. So we pray that God will what? Work in their lives. Number two, faith develops virtue and it helps us to develop knowledge. It means full knowledge, or a knowledge that is what? Growing. A knowledge that is growing in its context and can be mean practical knowledge. It really kind of means spiritual discernment. So it says develop knowledge. Develop spiritual discernment. If you know there's a stronghold that draws you away from God, are you with me? You're not developing discernment. I should discern that. You know, why did you get two boxes of cookies? Well, because I discerned last time that one of her kids took three of the cookies and hid them upstairs, and nobody got them except the kid, which to me was smart. But so discernment. So here's what I wrote down here. Okay, Brother Harry, you have such discernment. Yes. Yes, I do. I have the gift of discernment. Let me tell you how I got there. Mostly it's come out of my own personal failures. It's amazing how personal failures can help you develop discernment. Here's the other thing, too. I have counseled over, I figured it out this week, right now, over the last 17 years, I have seen 8,300 and something counseling appointments. Over 8,000 appointments. You have so much discernment. Well, of course I do. You all have the same problems. I mean, you got to know about 10 things, really, because everybody's got the same problems. If this is bad, this is bad. If we're not communicating, this is bad. It's not like you need a tremendous amount of discernment to do what I'm doing. You all are really messed up. You're all alike. I'm glad I'm not like you people. Yeah, I know. But the whole point is, you know, discernment comes because we have to apply discernment. Okay, now, he says knowledge leads to self-control. this is one of my strongholds. Speaking as a classic overreactor, anger is chosen, not caused. Now, let me define anger for you. See if you can write this down fast enough. Anger is a selfish response to a negative situation. Everyone say that with me. Anger is a selfish response to a negative situation. Say it again. Anger is a selfish response to a negative situation. You're driving down the road, the guy cuts you off, lets you know his team's number one. Alabama fan. And lets you know his team's number one. And you are what? On his bumper, beeping your horn, letting him know you're not happy with him. You are selfishly responding to a negative situation. The word also means temperance. Okay? Temperance. Now, listen to what temperance means. The word refers to a mastery over all evil inclinations and appetites. There's your fill-in. Appetites. I have to master those appetites inside me that draw me away from God. And the only way to do that is I must inquire and receive more grace from God, and we partner together, we cooperate together to get done whatever it is God's trying to get done in my world today. Does that all make sense? Does that make sense to everybody? And so, I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time crying out for God's help. Self-control leads to steadfastness or patience. There's another one of my big ones. Patience is the ability to endure when circumstances are difficult and takes you out of your comfort zone. How many of y'all are really good at patience? We're not very what? Yeah, let me give you a definition here, okay? This is really big. Listen to this. Self-control has to handle the pleasures of life. Patience handles the pressures of life. Let me say that again. Self-control handles the pleasures of life. Patience has to handle the pressures of life. Every now and then, this is a great biblical truth. Let me give this great biblical truth to you. Everybody look at me. I don't want you to miss this. Every now and then, okay, when we're patient is being tried, okay, here's what you have to do. You got to put on your big boy and big girl pants and what? Suck it up and learn how to let God teach me to develop patience when everything inside me is impatient and we as Americans are terribly what? Impatient. We're impatient. We want everything right away. Okay, the only way to pull that off is I got to have godly wisdom. Number five, patience develops godliness or Christ-likeness. Both of the fill-ins are there. Okay, those of you who are new, how many of y'all are new here and has and only been here the last year? Hold your hand up real quick. Real quick. Okay, watch this. Here's the answer to life. Ready? Everybody together. What's the goal? Everybody together. What's the goal? I have to live a life that brings God joy. I have to bring my mate and kids joy. Christ-likeness, God joy, mate and kids joy. Dan, do those three things every day. You fulfilled your purpose. Go to bed. You had a great day today. If you were Christ-like, you brought God joy, and you brought Christy joy, you had a great day. Go to bed. Because if you're bringing God joy, your serving will be right, your giving will be right, your attitude will be right, and if all hell breaks loose, you'll act right. It's how simple God made it. It's how simple he made it. But I've got to develop this Christ-likeness. It's just not going to come automatically because my old sinful nature wants what it wants. Remember, we have two choices. Christ-likeness, power of sin. Christ-likeness, power of sin. Those are my two choices. Those are my choices here. Okay? Now, let me just say, if we're going to have patience, we got to get over the petty things of life. You know, quit wearing your feelings on your sleeve. Kindness, or number six, godliness leads to brotherly kindness and affection. It means affection. Remember how Jesus was the disciples? They all spent their time asking who was going to be the greatest. You know, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? I can imagine they kept saying this. Hey, time out here. We're all starving to death, and Judas is gaining weight. How's that happening? Well, he had the money back. I got to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. Went down to the taco stand and got himself something to eat and came back. Why? Because he had the money. So there wasn't brotherly kindness shown there. Brotherly kindness says, I'm going to make right decisions that are right and good. Now, I got to hurry. Brotherly kindness develops Christian love. Brotherly kindness develops Christian love. It's the DNA of every follower of Christ. These seven qualities he's speaking of cannot be accomplished in one's ability. It requires my heart fixed on the Spirit of God. I have to fix my heart and life on Christ, and he's going to live out his life through me. I got a good story. Huh? The Greek word for godliness is worship. Is worship. Greek for godliness means to worship well. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Okay, final thoughts real quick. By the way, I am really going to start doing something in the next couple weeks. I'm going to cut down the number of pages I have here so I don't feel like I have to hurry in the end. And a great wise man said, what's your big hurry? We're going to be here for a few years. Cut it in half and let's get more talking in here. So I'm going to really work at that. Okay. They don't say I'm not going to be good at it. I'm going to work at it. Final thoughts. Every believer of God enjoys the precious faith given to us by God. We enjoy the faith given to us. Number two, the Holy Spirit of God enables a Christian to be transformed into the character of Christ. We have the ability to release these virtues that are already inside us. Pulling off the seven character traits requires obedience and what? Character. Character. If you're falling short of character, you got to be willing to let God what? Prune your heart, prune your life. All right, here's my story. I love going to the Bible for stories. I think you already know that. Okay, everybody look at me. This is real important. I love godly stories. I love biblical stories. But when you're not reading your Bible, you have to be able to go somewhere to learn godly principles. Okay? And the only way place I know to go is watching the Andy Griffith Show. Okay? Now, I'm watching the other day, and Opie is being bullied by another kid bigger because he said, give me your milk money, 5 cents for milk, or I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich. And so he's a little bigger kid, and so what did he do? He gave him his nickel. Okay? And then, of course, he goes to Barney and says, do you have a nickel you're not using? Now, back then, that was a lot of money, a nickel. You know? And he'd give him. So every day, the kid bullies him into giving his what? Taking his 5 cents for his milk money. So finally, Barney figures it out. He tells Andy. Andy takes Opie fishing and tells him a whopper of a story about how this guy kept trying to take his fishing hole away from him and how he had to just lay into that guy. And he hit me right in the eye. He goes, did it hurt? He goes, I didn't feel a thing. I laughed. And then I laid into him like wind in a tornado. Okay? So the end of the story is this. Opie comes into the sheriff's office with a black eye. He goes, Dad, look, isn't it a whopper? And he goes, what happened? He goes, I decided to take my milk money back. And I laid into him like a tornado. And he was so proud of himself. And it made me stop and say this. I'm tired of Satan and selfishness trying to take my milk money. I'm tired of Satan attacking me and attacking my people in such a way where he's trying to take away our milk money. And Michael said this the other day at prayer time. Michael teared up at prayer time. He goes, I am watching Satan attack our church right now and people in our church like never before, and it's time for us to stand up and punch him back in the face and let him know he's not going to what? He's not going to win. Draw the circle around those areas of your life right now that you're going to take back. Take some ground back. Take your stinking milk money back. And we're not going to keep giving in to the pressures that we face every day. We're going to trust God to do what? Whatever it is he has to do. But while he's doing that, I got seven virtues available to me every single day that I have to apply in my life. I've got to develop these things in my life. And when I do, like Andy, I'll be able to look at the bully, take his hit, and laugh back. I don't know about you, but I'm taking my milk money back. Amen. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Help us to learn how to discern, Father, what you're doing in our lives. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. See you next week.